Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house, and He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. We have been discussing for a number of Sundays this year the movement away from God by America. And many Christian leaders believe this fact is the result of the failure of believers to stand up and fight for God's kingdom here on earth. And the question today is one that's posed in the title to the sermon, and that is, are we ready to fight for God today in the battle with Satan and his followers? Are we ready for battle? And our text this Sabbath comes from the second book of Samuel, chapter 23, verses 9 through 10. And I invite you and request that you follow along in your Bible as I read 2 Samuel 23, 9 through 10. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahohite. As one of the three mighty men, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pasdamus for battle. Then the men of Israel retreated, but he stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. What an inspiring story is found in these two verses in the 23rd chapter of the second book of Samuel. It's the story of Eleazar, who was called one of David's mighty men, or one of David's three mighty men. Sometimes God's word refers to him. He is particularly remembered for his historic deeds, his heroic deeds in this battle with the Philistines. And the battle was at a place called Pasdamon. And this was, interestingly enough, the same place that David slew Goliath. It means dell of bloodshed or boundary of blood, depending upon which interpretation which Bible dictionary that you look the word Pasdamon. This place seems to have been a recurring headache for Israel. It was the same place at which Saul was trapped before David rescued him. And now here again, David is there to fight the Philistines. And there is a lesson to be learned here. The enemy Satan will often draw us back to old battlegrounds where he's held us up and tripped us up in the past. And if we look back on our walk as Christians, I dare say that our greatest battles with Satan have been fought over the same sins time and time again. Must be on our guard when we began to return to the old battlegrounds. And here at Pasdamon, again the Philistines were arrayed against David's army. However, all the men of Israel retreated from this spot except David and Eleazar. They were left in the barley field to fight the army of the Philistines. And there these two routed the Philistine army. and drove them away and killed many, many of them, so that when the men returned who had retreated, who had fled, the only task left was to loot the dead bodies of the Philistines, to go through and find if there's anything of value upon these bodies that the Israelites could use. Indeed, Eleazar was quite a man, and there are several lessons that we can learn from this important man as set forth in our text today. And first we learn that Eleazar's weapon was sufficient for the task at hand. Verse 10 of our text states that he, Eleazar, stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. He defeated the entire Philistine army with his sword. And this sword was a weapon in which Eleazar had confidence. He had no doubt fought many battles with this sword. He is referred to, as I said, as one of the three mighty men of David, or one of the mighty men of David. And their exploits are told throughout God's word in the Old Testament of the hundreds and thousands of the enemy of the Israel nation that they killed in battle. We can surmise that his sword was obviously a reliable weapon. And I dare say that Eleazar himself cared for the weapon, sharpened it, and oiled it so that he knew in battle that it would not fail him. This was also a weapon with which Eleazar was familiar. By constant use, he mastered his sword. It's easy to imagine him practicing day after day after day. Eleazar was familiar with the feel and the weight of the sword, and he knew how to use it defensively and offensively, and this sword became an extension of his arm. And his sword provides us with a picture of the weapon that God has placed in our hands as Christians. In Ephesians, Paul instructs us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Bible is our eternal, unchanging revelation of the living God. It is our weapon in the battle against Satan. And the question becomes this morning, do we know our weapon? Do we know the Bible well enough to have unflinching confidence in it? It is the Word of God, and God does not lie to us. Therefore, we can be assured of every line written in this book is true. God's Word is absolute in its reliability. But sadly, we do not believe that. No one can us of that fact just by telling us that. It's logical and reasonable to assume that everything in here is true because of whom God is. But the facts become that we must experience the truth for ourselves in order to believe. Preacher after preacher can assure us of the truth of God's word. I can stand up here and present it to you in such a way that it rings out with truth to us as we hear the words. Yet it will all be just words until we begin to live out God's word in our own lives. And then we'll learn that God never fails to keep a promise. And if we learn such truth, then we shall possess unflinching confidence in this weapon that we have in our hand. Are we familiar with our weapon? There's an answer in the Word of God for every situation, for every problem that we face in life. But if we do not spend time in the Bible, we shall possess no knowledge of the answers that we need to solve these problems when we need them. Eleazar's sword was sufficient for the battle, yet for him to be affected with it, he must master it. He needed to have confidence in it and to be totally familiar with it. And so it is with our weapon, the Word of God. In our battle with Satan and his followers, we must know that God's Word is sufficient for every battle we face in life. And the question is, how well do we know that weapon? Second, we learn from the text that Eleazar had a tremendous grip upon his weapon, upon his sword. Our text states that Eleazar's hand froze to the sword. And his hand froze to the sword despite the fact that the situation seemed helpless. Remember, all of the men except David had fled. All of the men of Israel who were there to fight the Philistines had fled and left David and Eleazar there to fight. And Eleazar knew he who turns and runs away can live to fight another day. But he stayed to fight the Philistines, his hand frozen to the sword. And his hand was frozen to the sword despite the fact that all of his human resources were depleted. We can imagine he was tired, he was hungry, he was thirsty. The adrenaline had probably been pumping from the very first engagement with one of the members of the Philistine army, and for only so long can that sustain one in a situation like this. But despite his reserves being depleted, he did not give up. His hand froze to the sword. And how many times have we been in situations when nothing, there was nothing left to do but to cling to God's word? We had tried relying on ourselves. We had tried relying on our spouse, our parents, our friends, our employer, to no avail. I'm talking about the times when the only favorable solution to the situation was to pursue God's word. And there, when we find his promise, we must hold on to it for dear life. Eleazar and his sword became one. In addition to clinging to our weapon, the Bible, we must become one with it. When we spend time soaking up the Word of God, there comes a point when we are consumed with the revelation of God. Then when we speak, our words are permeated with the words of God, the truth that comes forth out of His book because it is living inside of us. There comes a point when we don't even know when our thoughts end and God's words begin. Hopefully, we shall be frozen to the Word of God. Third, we learn from the text who secured Eleazar's victory. In our text, we read, "The Lord brought about a great victory that day." Such was the strength in Eleazar's sword. God took this one warrior and used him to put an army to flight. It was God who secured the victory for Eleazar. Eleazar had trained with his sword, that's true. He learned to wield it defensively and offensively. He learned to use it expertly throughout the battle. His hand was frozen to it, but it was God's power which enabled him to defeat the Philistines. God was the one who secured Eleazar's victory for Israel that day. And God's weapon, his word, in the hand of a man of God or a woman of God is just as formidable a weapon as the sword which Eleazar wielded on that day. His word is sufficient for every situation, for every problem that we encounter in life. But we need to know it. We need to have confidence in it and be familiar with it. We need to be the people of God's Word, to cling to it, to be frozen to God's Word in battling Satan and his followers. And that's why I spoke a couple of Sundays ago about the importance of Vacation Bible School and the importance of Sunday school, for that's where we learn to use this weapon. We learn what it can do. We learn the answers to situations that arise. Sure, we can come here at 10:45 and have worship from 11 to 12, and hopefully I can impart to you something that God has placed on my heart that may be meaningful to you and something that you may use. But studying God's Word is what we need to do. Bible study, Vacation Bible School, Sunday school, daily devotional reading of His Word, delving into it, seeking answers, so that it becomes a part of us, that we are frozen to His Word to the point that when we speak, it's God's Word coming from our heart. And when we have reached that point, we know that we have a formidable weapon in fighting Satan. We can be confident if we honor God's Word, He will give us the victory no matter what the odds. If we just gave you the scenario of Elijah and David fighting the Philistine army, and we don't know how many it was, but let's just assume it was 50 people or 100 soldiers, we would have said they don't have a chance. If nothing else, the Philistines, you know, just in mass engage upon them, and they may kill a few of them at first, but they'll overwhelm them. But no, God was with them. God was with Elijah on this day, and He will be with us to give us the victory. Do we wish for Ephesus, God's host, to be filled with people of faith? Paul tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do we wish for Ephesus, God's host, to be a place filled with the power of God so we may see the supernatural workings of God? Mark tells us that then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed His Word by the signs that accompanied it. God will give us the signs. If we know God, if we know His Word and trust in it and believe in it and use it as our weapon in our battle. So we must commit ourselves so that we all might be people of the Word. We must commit to training with and using this weapon which God has provided us. And by doing so, we'll be victorious when battling Satan and his followers. We shall be successful in leading this nation back to God. And we shall be successful in making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded us. We need to know our weapon. We need to cling to it, to be frozen to it, to trust it. And if we do that, we can be successful. And those of us who are believers here today, I want us to resolve, and as we stand for our hymn of invitation, resolve that we're going to put forth the effort needed to learn God's Word. You can talk to somebody that's been studying God's Word forever, and they will tell you that just about every time they go back into it to study it even more, they learn something different. How often do we have people come to our door, Jehovah's Witnesses or others? Or how often when we talk to an atheist, do they know more about the Bible than we do? And we become defensive, and we turn and walk away More out of fear, if truth be known, fear not of the person, but fear that we don't know God's word as well as they do. But if we study it, then we can refute the things they take out of context and quote to us. Well, yes, that might be true, but you didn't finish what the scripture said. So let's resolve as believers that we'll do that. And if you're not a believer, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, we invite you to do so, so that you can learn more about this weapon that he's given us, and you can learn to use it in your battle with Satan on a daily basis. We invite you to come as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 317, Only Trust.